Hi, and welcome to That's My First Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Well, we had a 3-4 day weekend, depending on where you worked. How was your past week and your weekend?
Man, what did I do this past week? I did have a long weekend, but now I'm like, what did I do this weekend? I made some cocktails. Made a lot of different cocktails.
Nice.
So that's always fun.
What kind of cocktails?
This is a good. I've been playing a lot with. Have you ever heard of Butterfly PT?
I cannot say that I've ever heard of that.
So it's these tea leaves, and they turn the whatever liquid you want. If it's a clear liquid, it'll turn it kind of a purplish color. But if you introduce any acid to it, so like any citrus, it turns into a light pink.
Interesting.
Color.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I've never heard of that. It's interesting. Does it like have a? Is it just like a effect? Like it makes it look things look different, or does it have like an actual flavor or an enhancing effect of a flavor?
I don't taste a flavor, but I wonder if there is if you like steep it in water. If you like drink it like actual tea, I mean, there should be some kind of floral flavor, but I was messing around with some of my leftover gin, so I don't have a lot of gin left, so I kind of just dyed it all blue, so I can have some in the little cabinet.
Okay,
ready for that. I also made Jello shots. I've actually never made them before. If any of our listeners are old enough to drink, I don't know why people love Jello shots. They are not delicious. They don't taste like Jello at all.
No, it's just like kind of slightly fruity alcohol, depending on what alcohol you use. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it was fun when you were in college. Like I remember enjoying it when I was in college, but as an adult, it's like whatever.
Yeah, I do remember. I don't think I've ever loved Jello shots. I thought they were just like okay. They never are very easy to get out of the container. I don't know if in college were they in like the little like plastic cup containers when you
if
would
I
have
remember
them?
Correctly, yes.
And like they don't just pop out easily. You gotta like scoop them out, or you're sucking on them. It's just like it's too much work for a shot, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's just something appealing to it. I don't remember. Like, I'm pretty far removed from my college days, so I honestly don't remember what the appeal was. Maybe because it just sounded cool. Like, hey, you know that stuff you used to eat as a child when you were, you know, in school or whatnot? Well, we've made it alcoholic. Yay. Like, I don't know.
That is, man, I guess that is the thing. But, I don't know. Have you ever... Okay, this is another thing, I guess, but... Have you ever had vodka watermelon?
A long time ago. So I'm guessing it's the thing where you take the bottle of vodka and, like, you kind of pour it into a watermelon or whatnot and just kind of let it soak over, I forget how much time, and then after a while...
Yeah, the watermelon becomes alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just... I was thinking about that. Man, back... I guess, again, in the college days, that was the thing we would always do. You know, it's like someone has to soak a watermelon.
I remember one of my friends had a bunch of different, like, alcohol and whatnot. Like, you know, the minute he turned 21, he rated a... It's fun saying rated. It makes sounds like he stole. No, he legally acquired a bunch of alcohol and made his own like liquor cabinet and whatnot. So he had pretty much everything. Like literally the day he turned 21, he did that. So he had everything, including Everclear. But he also had like the cheap stuff. Like, you know, I forget what it was called. There was like an off-brand Jack Daniels. I think it was called Evan Williams. And then there was an off-brand, like, Jose Cuervo and stuff. So he had, like, all the off-brand stuff. But, you know, we're young. We're, like, you know, 21, 22. We don't know the difference. So we're just drinking it. Like, I feel like once you first start drinking alcohol, you think like, oh, Budweiser is good beer or whatever. And then eventually you start to realize, oh no, there's way better beer. And yes, I know I probably lost us the Budweiser account.
I mean, I always remember like everyone like having a Smirnoff and being like, oh, this is hard. This Smirnoff goes hard.
Yes, I remember that too. Once I turned 21, you'd get like the Smirnoff or the Mike's Hard Lemonade or Bartles and James or something. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm getting so wasted or whatever. It's like that stuff's essentially Capri Sun with like a sprig of alcohol in it.
Oh man, yeah. Man, when you're talking about the off-brands alcohol, I just imagine like, you know when you see people on the street selling like off-brand purses? Mm-hmm. I just imagine someone on the street being like, this is just as good as Jose Cuervo.
Yeah, no, that was exactly what it was. It was like you'd go to the liquor store, and then like at eye level was the like the good brands like Sky and Smirnoff and all that stuff. And then if you look down, like $10 cheaper or whatnot were the off brands. So like off brand Patron, off brand. The only one I really remember is Evan Williams was like the off brand Jack Daniels.
Oh man. Oh, Jack Daniels would just be my go-to thing. Now that I'm older, I can't really... I'm not really going out drinking a lot.
Yeah, those days are behind. I would never really had that kind of a day before. Like, I was never a hardcore partier or whatever, but... I also... I don't know. Like, it just wasn't me, but at the same time, like, even less so nowadays do I drink.
Oh, man. I don't drink too often. I kind of like maybe 2 cocktails a week now. Because I do that other show, and I make cocktails while I watch anime. So I've been doing that. So I drink during that time. But man, when I was younger, I work in kitchens. So I used to work downtown Austin, and after our shifts, we would just like go to all the bars and get super. Super drunk. I don't even know how I survived.
I think it's just something you like doing when you're younger. And maybe that's just part of being young is enjoying, you know, alcohol and all that stuff. I was just an old fogey, even when I was young. Even when I was 17, I was an old man. So what can I say?
Well, I do wish I had, like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm... When you watch King of the Hill and it's like they're drinking beers at the fence, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool, mm-hmm. though. You know, just chilling, drinking some beers.
Yeah.
But how was your... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but I look at that and I wonder, is like, are the guys like just low-key alcoholics, like going out and drinking in the evening every night with each other? Like, I don't know. I'm not an expert or a psychologist or whatever, but I'm like, isn't that just like low-level alcoholism at some point?
They go through cases, like, I don't know. They go through multiple six-packs, I believe, at times. But, I mean, well, it's 4 of them. I don't know. Maybe 2-pack, 2 beers a person? That's not that. But then they start drinking super early because, what was it, the Rocky Horror Peggy show? It's like not even the afternoon yet, and they're already out there having beers.
Well, even in this episode, which we'll start here in a few minutes, they show the Bill drinking at like, what, 6 or 7 in the morning? So, yeah, I think
there's a little bit of a problem going there. I feel like that's Bill, though.
Yeah. But as far as my weekend goes, I'm all right. I think my weekend was fine for, what's it called? So it was 4th of July weekend. Yesterday was pretty crappy in the sense that my dog was terrified the whole night of all the fireworks. I didn't realize we were in a fireworks neighborhood. Actually, I should have realized it because we were living here last year, but I didn't. It was really bad last night. So she was hiding under the bed. Other than that, you know, I kind of wandered the city a bit, which was kind of fun. Went hiking with a friend on Sunday, got some brunch, been playing some video games. I want to rent Mobius, or I'm sorry, not Mobius, Morbius. I want to rent Morbius, but at the same time, I don't want to give the studio money because I don't want to give them the wrong idea that people actually want to watch Morbius.
When you put the DVD or however you're going to digital download or however you're going to rent it, before you push play, are you going to be like, are you going to say like, it's Morbin time?
I should. That would be funny to say it's Morbin time when I put it in or whatever. What I might really do is like, before I send it, I'll write an email to Sony Pictures or whatever saying, I'm watching the film, but don't count this as a like.
I do imagine somewhere off in the... It's going to be like you push play and then it's going to cut away to some guy in like a room with a computer and he's like, one more play, and he pushes a button like greenlits the sequel.
See, that's what I'm afraid of, that they're going to get the wrong message out of it. But maybe, you know, maybe that's just a risk that I need to take.
I mean, Sony only has so many properties. You know, I feel like at the end of this decade, we're going to have every Spider-Man villain is going to have their own bad movie.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm not a big fan. I've never heard anything positive about the film. I think it has less than 10% on Rotten Tomatoes. But at the same time, I just have this almost punny, just this morbid curiosity to watch it.
Man, I do. I like Matt Smith, so that's like a selling point for me. But then I have to watch the movie, which is it's at 16%.
Okay, well, that's better than I thought it was.
But a 71% audience score.
Okay, well, maybe I don't know. Maybe I need to give it a fair chance. I'm still like very not sure about renting it because I don't want to give the studio the right idea. What happens if I watch it and I actually like it? That would be weird.
And then you're genuinely going around being like, it's Morbin time, guys.
Yeah. Like, what if that is just a like an unexpected result, is that I watch it and I wind up enjoying it?
Oh, that's interesting. My brain doesn't know how to process this thought that you're saying out loud. I don't know. It's interesting. It feels like, oh, man. Have you heard about the Minions thing that's happening?
The only thing I've heard about is something about teenagers wearing suits or something. I don't know if that's the same thing you're talking about.
Yeah, like Minions is like one of the highest grossing movies for the 4th of July weekend because like people were memeing it and then they like started going out and buying lots of tickets and going to watch this movie in droves. People are getting kicked out of the movie for being too rambunctious during the screening.
All right. Well, I have not heard. I think that's the first time I've heard of people being kicked out of a film for being too rambunctious. But yeah.
But I feel like I wonder if people can do that with Morbius. Like, I don't know. Thor is coming out this week. What if everyone just rents Morbius on Thor's opening weekend? Boosts Morbius up to Thor level.
That would be funny. Or just like have an eccentric millionaire just like buy multiple rentals of the film.
Oh man, isn't that the greatest meme? I feel like we should get it on Reddit.
Well, it's like there was a guy years ago. I know we're kind of going off the rails, but there was a guy, not even years ago, there's a guy who figured out that like the way Google Maps determines traffic is by like the amount of phones that ping or whatever. So he bought a bunch of phones and put them in a wagon and then just just walk down the street with them. And because Google saw like 100 phones or whatever slowly going up the street, it started reporting that there was heavy traffic on that road. So it was just one guy trolling everybody.
That's interesting. Because then Google would like tell people to take a different route.
Yeah, most likely. Or there's people who would stay on the route and get on there and be like, this is pretty empty.
Oh, man. I wouldn't know what to think. That's interesting. Man, and then he bought service for all those phones?
I guess it was worth it. This was worth it for the prank.
I feel like, yeah, if you're richer, your pranks have to be more elaborate.
Yeah, well, you know who probably would not appreciate these pranks are Hank Hill. Or what we'll find is probably, in this episode anyway, Boomhauer. Because he, I wouldn't say he gets pranked, but it's in that like same vein of being pranked in this episode. I guess getting hurt from a result. But yeah, this episode is Dang Old Love. This is episode 20 of season 6. And this is a Boomhauer heavy episode. And quite frankly, I think this is probably one of the few Boomhauer heavy episodes that we get like in the entirety of the show. I know there's probably a few that have that like center more around Boomhauer than others, but I think this might be the only one where he's like the main character, if you will. We started at sunrise in Ireland, and you know, they were looking at people's houses, and we see inside of the Hill House that Hank and Peggy and Lady Bird are all asleep. And it's funny because like Peggy is spooning Hank and Hank's spooning Lady Bird. So, you know, it's just kind of interesting that that dynamic is going on. And then Boomhauer is sleeping with the ice cream lady. Bill is drinking, and I believe it's like 6 a.m. in the alley, and he's just kind of hanging out, waiting for his friends to get ready for stuff. And then this kid who's riding a bike who is doing the paperboy thing is riding, and you know, Bill's like, hey, do you want to hang out while I wait for my friends to come out? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm working. All of a sudden, Bill sees a very attractive jogger run by, and you know, she kind of looks at him. She's in a friendly way, not like, ew, gross, get away from me. But she wasn't looking at like a, hey there, handsome kind of way. But Bill just immediately falls in love with her and start knocking on everybody's door, telling him that he's met a woman and he's happy and everything. And Boomhauer wakes up through all the racket and sees that the woman he was sleeping with is still there. He expected that, oh, she would have bounced by now. And, you know, he's upset. He gets her a cab, you know, gets her to leave in the cab, all that stuff. Actually, she doesn't have to leave in a cab because her ice cream truck's right there. Bobby actually sees the ice cream truck while he's getting his coffee and rushes into the Hill room, and he's like, oh, the ice cream lady's here. I'm gonna go grab some money. She still grabs like quarters out of Hank's pockets or whatever. And Hank looks out the window and kind of puts two and two together. He's like, oh, I don't think she's on duty. She's dating Mr. Boomhauer. And Bobby thinks that's even greater. It's like, oh, she'll be over here all the time now. And then he runs out, and Peggy's like, why doesn't Boomhauer date anybody smart like a congresswoman so I can get my bill passed? It is beer time, and Bill just keeps going on and on and on about this jogger, and nobody believes Bill. And they, you know, Hank even brings up Larry and Wayne, who are these like two friends that Bill made up that never really existed. And Bill's getting mad, and then Dale makes a comment about how Larry and Wayne always talked bad about him behind his back, which is funny because Larry and Wayne don't exist. So it's just funny where Dale's going with that. Bill goes over to the Hill House and asks for a mug because he wants to have coffee with this lady. And Peggy kind of plays along, and she grabs a fake mug, like an invisible mug out of the pantry. And it's like, oh, it's dirty. And then she like pretends to clean it out and hangs it to Bill, because she obviously thinks that Bill's just making up this invisible woman too. And he just steals the mug from Bobby. So taking a step here. Yeah, Bill fell hard for somebody that he just saw, which is kind of sad. but that's also in his character.
I really enjoy that Bobby sees the ice cream truck and is super excited for ice cream. And then even more excited that Boomhauer is dating the ice cream lady. He's like, we just hit the jackpot, guys. Ice cream all the time.
Because that's exactly how it works, right? You know, you just give away your inventory to the random kid next door.
True. I mean, what do you think Bobby's go-to ice cream is?
Something chocolate, I'd guess. I feel like there's probably an answer to this if you dig into the lore, but I honestly do not know what he mentions as his favorite ice cream.
I'm hoping he's like me, and I always get the character ice creams. You know, with the eyeballs that are gumballs?
Yes, I remember those when I was a kid.
Yeah. I wonder why they don't sell them in the grocery store. I feel like I would buy a pack every now and then out of nostalgic reasons.
Yeah, that's a good... Sometimes they sell them in gas stations. I remember back in the day, maybe not so much nowadays, but back in the day, they used to sell them in the gas stations. I don't know what they do these days anymore, but yeah, I think it'd be pretty fun to just be able to go to a store and buy groceries. Or not groceries, I'm sorry. Be able to just buy, like, the Tweety Bird ice cream or whatever.
Yeah, oh, man, now I want one. I guess I'll have to go find one. But I also like that everyone is just like, Bill, is this person even real?
Yeah, which kind of tells me that Bill has a habit of just making up people that don't exist. And we've seen a few episodes where he's done that, where he's like made up an uncle that wasn't really there or whatever, like just because he wanted attention or he needed an excuse to go visit somebody and was like, oh, I'm going to visit my uncle. I'll go to the airport with you or whatever. And so that's kind of like Bill's MO, is to just make stuff up. But and this time he's not, but just the fact that they're all like, oh, Bill, come on. Like, they clearly are used to him doing this. Well, Bill is actually trying to prove that he asked her out and stuff. And he actually set up a camera to record his interaction with the woman. And he has like two coffee mugs that he's holding, but he's also like pretending to jog in place. So he just winds up splashing the coffee on his chest. And, which I found hysterical. But then, what happened then? He's recording it and he's showing like he's trying to, you know, he's trying to hit on the girl in a way by saying like, oh, you know, hey, would you like to stop for coffee? And she's trying to let him down easy. Like, oh, you know, I gotta keep on my, keep on my rhythm and keep my pace and everything. And he turns it off and he's like, see, he told you she was real. And then Hank like acknowledges that she actually existed. But Hank's also like, you know how you saw that that woman on the cereal box, that ice skater on the Wheaties box? She's a real person too, but you fell in love with her. So Hank's still like, okay, yeah, the woman exists, but there's no indication that there's anything going on between the two of you. But Dale just like tries to come up with an idea to help her win. Dale tries to help Bill win her over in his like conniving way. And basically his idea is they're going to dig holes all over the alley. And that way, when she runs through next time, she'll trip, twist her ankle, get injured, whatever. And then Bill can come out and rescue her and win her over that way. And so Bill comes up, Bill decides to go for that. At this point, Boomhauer's given a little bit of advice on how to talk to women, but then he sees the ice cream lady driving by, so he just ducks and hides and asks Hank to cover for him. And, you know, she asks questions, then she leaves, and, you know, Boomhauer isn't coming back. And I like how there's this part where Luann's trying to explain the scenario to Bobby because he just doesn't get it. that Boomhauer is like not dating the ice cream woman. He pretty much just hit it and quit it. And, you know, Luann's like, oh, you know how you're happy eating just vanilla and you can eat vanilla every day? Well, Boomhauer needs to have a bunch of different flavors. And Bobby's like, oh, okay, so why didn't he just stay with her then? She can have all the flavors he wants. And Bobby's just not getting it, which made me feel kind of sad for him. But yeah, so they go digging the holes, and you know, as they're digging, he's, you know, Dale is mentioning that he's looking forward to them getting another woman around because he's running out of things to say to Peggy. The runner, as expected, trips in the hole and hurts her ankle. Bill decides to go out and help her, but he just keeps falling in the holes himself. Like, he'll walk, he'll step in one, trip, injure himself, get back up, and then step in another one, trip, and injure himself. And it's like, why isn't he just not paying attention? But, okay, Boomhauer hears all the ruckus, and so he goes out, picks up the one, brings him to his house, and he starts playing Dido, which is, I guess, his go-to song whenever he's making love. And then Bill is, like, patching himself up after the commercial, and he's upset because Boomhauer stole his girl, and Boomhauer brings her out to the cab and tells the cabbie to put the money on his account. So it looks like this is a normal thing that Boomhauer does, and he's done it so much that he actually has like a rapport with the cabbie, to where they're like, yeah, this guy will pay me. Like, he's trustworthy. Bill is super angry, naturally, and then Hank is mad. Because now we'll never hear the end of it. Again, going back, I like how smooth Boomhauer is, and then also how unsmooth Bill is. Like, just the juxtaposition between the two of them is interesting.
Yeah, it's very, I don't know, it's very sad seeing Bill fall into the holes and not be able to get to her in time.
Mm-hmm.
And just see Boomhauer sweep, like, was it sweep her up? Swoop her up?
Yep.
Swoop her up and, like, take her away. And it's kind of, I mean, I don't know. I don't even think she would have gone for Bill, first of all, but it's just sad because, like, I feel like he's, like, I don't know. It's just sad. I guess anything with Bill trying is very sad to watch.
And it's that whole steal my girl thing. Like, you can't steal something. Somebody can't steal something from you that's not yours. Like, that's just kind of common sense. And one, you can't own a person. So there's that. But then two, there's nothing indicating that woman was interested in Bill in the first place. So the idea that he stole her, or that Boomhauer stole her from him, is just ridiculous. Because, you know, it's not like she was interested in him in the first place, but it's sad to see how upset Bill gets and how angry he gets. Now, I guess you could also argue that there's a bro code there. Like, you know, the bro code where, you know, if I'm not interested in the girl, you don't go after the girl I'm interested in, but still.
But I feel like in this whole story, the true victim is Bobby. Bobby has lost out on ice cream.
That's true.
And isn't that the worst of it all?
Free ice cream. But yeah, he's the biggest victim of them all. Boomhauer is hiding when he sees the lady jogger come by until he realizes that she has a Jaguar that she's driving, and all of a sudden, Boomhauer is interested, and he jumps in the car, and he flirts with her, and they drive back to his place, and Dale praises him, and Boomhauer puts on Dido, which now upsets Bill even more. It's like, oh, Bill's doing it, or Boomhauer's doing it again. Peggy is telling a boring story about how she thought she saw the weather guy in the store, and the guy's like, I'm not the weather guy. But then she's like, you are the weather guy. But it turns out he's not. It's a stupid story, but it's funny too. You know, Bobby hates the story, runs off. And he's like, oh, I guess I'm going to have to go eight blocks or 8 miles. I forget what he said. He has to go a while before he's, you know, he's got to go a while to get his stuff. And then Hank makes a joke about, boy, I bet he wished that that Boomhauer broke up with the asparagus lady. And then Peggy's not amused by this joke at all, because she's like, oh, Boomhauer's a womanizer. How are you accomplishing, or how are you, you know, Boomhauer's a womanizer. How are you like praising this and stuff? And, you know, Hank's like a little taken aback by it, because I guess in his mind he was just making a joke, but Peggy thought he was like praising him for being the dude or whatever. Boomhauer's out on date night. He's at Sugarfoot's and he's hanging out with a girl, and they go to her house. She's in like a McMansion, so she's definitely well off, and he sleeps over at her house. And then she leaves her work, and she, you know, tells Boomhauer, yeah, there's drinks downstairs, and please be sure to lock up before you leave and stuff. Boomhauer decides to invite all the guys over, because he's like, oh, this looks like a really awesome place and stuff. And so they all come out, and Bill's obviously angry, and he steals her underwear and stuff. Hank is thrilled because there's a grill that he's able to turn on from the pool using a remote control. Yeah, the lady comes back. I believe her name's Marlene. So she comes back and she doesn't understand why everybody's here. And Boomhauer's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. I thought it would be cool if I invited my friends over on a hot day. I apologize. He gets them to leave and he sticks around and he goes up to hug her and stuff. But she doesn't, you know, she doesn't want to see him anymore. Like, he was essentially like a sport hookup. Like, she just wanted to hook up with him, and now she's moved on with her life. But Boomhauer is just not getting that. Outside, we see Hank, and Boomhauer is just like urgently just standing by the phone waiting for a call from the girl, because he's fallen in love, and Hank mentions how he fell in love with Peggy at first handshake. Boomhauer even goes to see his meemaw, and at first his meemaw is speaking very unintelligibly, and then she puts in her teeth, and now it's like, oh, now we can hear her and stuff. But then she's still like, she's talking like Boomhauer, but Boomhauer can hear her, and I guess that's all that matters. Boomhauer and his family has all these, has all this, I guess this is how they speak. But yeah, he asks for his grandma's ring because he's going to propose to Marlene. So there's a lot of things here. One, he's only been dating this woman for 3 days, or at most. And it's funny to see that, you know, he's already, quote unquote, in love and wants to marry her. I don't know what that says about Boomhauer. Just the fact that, like, I don't know. Like, is he the type of guy who he just uses and moves on from women so often that any woman that he likes for more than 2 days is like, that's the one I want to marry?
I mean, it's kind of interesting seeing, like, this is very similar to like what Bill does, except it's not with the Wheaties box person.
Yeah. Well, I think Boomhauer, as somebody who has done that to a lot of women, like hook up with them and then move on, I guess he's just never thought that somebody would do that to him. And so he thinks that they're, because the fact that they hooked up again and she invited him to her house makes him think that there's actual love there, but there isn't. So Boomhauer.
And it's interesting that he invited everyone else to the house.
Yeah, it's almost as if he wanted to show off or something. I mean, I think that's probably what it was, because I don't know. Now I'm starting to think about it. I don't know that Boomhauer is all that good at dating. I'm sure he's good at hooking up, but it's starting to look like he's not good at like maintaining a relationship.
Oh, well, I don't think we're going to talk about that episode, but we're the episode where we find out how Boomhauer really meets all the women.
I think we do cover that episode, but yes, we do find that one.
Okay. Then I will refrain. But stay tuned, listeners, because it's really interesting.
His methodology is very interesting. So, we see Boomhauer head back to Marlene's house, and he knocks on the door, and Marlene comes up, and, you know, she's waiting for a pizza, so she assumes that she assumes that Boomhauer is the pizza guy, and she opens the door and looks and doesn't see anybody, and she looks down, and Boomhauer's on one knee and asks to marry her, and she is just like, man, she is taken aback because she just doesn't understand it, and she's like, oh, you know, I only understand half of what you say all the time, and the other half I just smile and nod, and then all of a sudden another guy shows up, and it's clear that now she's hooking up with another guy, and Boomhauer gets the hint, and he says, oh, okay, well, you know, plenty of other fish in the sea. He gets in his car, drives away, and he just starts crying. And now we go back to the fence where everybody's drinking beer, and he's just calling Marlene and stuff, and then you can hear, like, laughter coming on, and Bill's like, oh, I know that sound. They're laughing at you on the office speakerphone. Boomhauer's a wreck. Boomhauer is a wreck, and he is wanting, you know, everybody's trying to help him feel better, and Hank's like, hey, why don't you tell us a story about the Radio Shack girl or whatever, and Bill's enjoying it because I guess now the tables have turned kind of thing. Hank is talking to Peggy and Dale, and they're deciding, you know, we need to get Boomhauer back to his old ways. Let's go tomcatting with him or whatever. And at first Peggy's against it. Like, I'm not going to let my husband go around and pick up women and stuff. But, then Hank is like, hey, you don't want another Bill, right? And Peggy's like, all right, take my keys. It's a chick magnet. Yeah, I like that kind of interaction because she's like, yeah, I don't want two Bills in the neighborhood. I also like in that conversation, Dale makes a comment about how the balance is off because it used to be one cool single guy, Boomhauer, one cool married guy, himself, one sad single guy, Bill, and one sad married guy, Hank. And I like how Hank doesn't even really respond. He's just like, okay.
Oh, man. I don't know. I feel like I could relate to Bill slightly. Just enjoying. I don't know why it's so pleasurable watching someone who's been on top be knocked down a little bit. I guess it just makes you feel like they're human, too.
They are very human.
But when Bill's like, I know that sound, they're laughing at you on speakerphone. Oh, that one hurts.
Yeah, I can't say that I've ever had that happen to me before, but definitely. I kind of feel for Bill because, you know, that means, like, his response definitely means that he's gone through that at least once in his life, but it sounds like he's had it happen many times. Which also is kind of weird because it shows that he doesn't learn his lesson, but at the same time, I guess the show wouldn't be as interesting if he did.
I also love Peggy's fear is to have two Bills in the alley.
Yes, she already has to deal with one who has unrequited love for her, so the idea of possibly having a second probably really makes her uneasy. So now they're taking him tomcatting, which I'm guessing that must be an older term or something because I've never really heard it referred to that as that before, but whatever. I guess maybe that's like their generation. I don't know. Obviously, Bill doesn't want to go. He's just broken. He's not interested. They see a really attractive crossing guard. And so they're like, hey, Boomhauer, go and work your magic with her. And they force him out and he talks to her and she comes back with him. And guys are like, oh, he did it. They're going to make out. Come on, pretend you're asleep. And so Dale and Hank pretend they're passed out in the car. And she comes up and she's like, here you go. And puts him back in the car and says, you should take care of your friend. He's really hurt over what that mean woman did. So obviously Boomhauer went over and just talked about his relationship pain to this random woman. Yeah, so they're just at a loss of what to do. They bring Boomhauer back to his house and they're trying to talk him up and whatnot. And then all of a sudden Bill rushes in and he's like, amateurs. And he grabs Boomhauer and runs out. He takes Boomhauer up to, like, I don't know. It seems like one of, like, those makeout points or whatever. An area that's overlooking the city. Let's say that. and he's giving him a pep talk about, you know, how terrible things are, and, you know, sometimes you just, things get bad and you're going to be hit by a train, and you just got to get yourself back up and keep trying. And then Bill's like, look at me, I'm fat and old, and I'm getting, every day I'm getting fatter and older, but I still keep trying. At the end of every month, I go to the woman's prison to meet a woman, because chances are they haven't seen a man in 20 years. Has it worked out for me yet? No, but I'm going to keep trying. And he keeps just building Boomhauer up, and now Boomhauer's feeling better about himself. But Boomhauer's also decided to take a little bit of date for breaking, and he actually drives over to the ice cream lady's house and apologizes for his behavior. We close the episode with seeing Bill, sure enough, at the prison, and he's talking to a woman who's coming out, and he's like, can I give you a ride home? And she's like, I'm driving. And then he's like, oh, so what were you in for? And she's like, I killed my boyfriend. And Bill's like, oh, so that means you're single now? So you got to love the optimism on Bill on this one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like Bill is the true hero. He never gives up. And he's like, I will find a way to find a woman eventually.
Yeah, I mean, you got to appreciate that about him, that he's actually, you know, not giving up. Granted, I wish he would, like, value himself more, because obviously, like, the way he's going about it isn't right. I think Bill definitely deserves more than a woman who just got out of prison. But at the same time, you got to appreciate his tenacity.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Bill meet women, though, in the series. So, you know, he's not hopeless. He just needs more self-confidence.
He does. He'll be fine. He does meet women many times in the show, which is kind of interesting when you think about it. Like, he definitely doesn't hit the same numbers as Boomhauer, and we don't really ever see him in, like, a stable relationship. Like, he might date, I mean, I guess it's because it's his character, he might be in a relationship for, like, an episode, then by the time the episode ends, the relationship ends. But yeah, Bill's a nicer person. I do like kind of the pep talk. I do and don't like the pep talk he gave Boomhauer, because it was just, his pep talk is, yeah, you're feeling bad, but you'll feel better and stuff. But then, like, the resolution was, now get out there and be the same guy you were before and hit on women and pick them up and forget about them and stuff. I do like that he did become a little retrospective and think like, or introspective. Boomhauer became a little introspective, and I like that, because now he's like, oh, I know what it's like to feel this way, to like have somebody hit it and quit it. And so I'm going to go apologize to the other women.
Do you think we get ice cream back on the street? Oh, no.
Of course not.
I feel like, well, I really like the end scene here with Bill at the jail, at the prison. But I would have loved another end scene with Bobby having to walk blocks to get ice cream.
Yeah, like a post-credit scene where it shows him riding a bike like 3 blocks.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that. It was a nice ending, albeit a bit weird. Yeah, I mean, Boomhauer is not I wouldn't call him my favorite character, but I definitely appreciate him. And yeah, I don't know. It was a really fun episode.
There are some really great, I think another one of my favorite episodes is a Boomhauer episode. I don't think we're going to talk about it. Now I can't remember the name. It's the one where Boomhauer surfs.
Yeah, I think we might actually have that on the list.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, 4-wave intersection.
Yeah, we have that like later on the list. But yeah, I think.
Okay, yeah. Then I won't talk about it, because I really love. I always feel like with a Boomhauer episode, there's always a great Bill B line, B story.
That's true.
Here we have this, because Bill being upset is like almost the B story of this thing. And we get a really cool B story with Boomhauer surfing. Man, I'm glad. Those are probably the two big Boomhauer episodes. I'm glad we both have them on.
Yeah, and I think there's a few others that come to mind. I don't know if they're on the list or whatever, but there's like one where his, or like a former woman that he liked, like I think she's the one who got away, is going to marry his cousin or his brother or something like that. And then, yeah, there's a few others, but this one is probably definitely one of the bigger Boomhauer ones. So I think we start to see a little bit of how Boomhauer works, like how his mind works.
You know, now that I'm like thinking about it, what's that episode where is it the Canadians take over Boomhauer's house?
Yeah,
that's like a house swap.
Yeah, that's a later. I think that's like the final season or the season right before the final season.
Okay, I don't think we're talking about that one for sure. I don't think we are. Because that one is where Boomhauer brings a girl back from another country.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, the commitment issue must be over by now.
Yeah, we rarely see him stick with one woman. He almost never does. It's almost always just for an episode, not even a full episode, you see the same woman.
Do you think he bought her a plane ticket back, like in the morning? It's like, tells the cab driver, I put it all on my tab, including the flight.
Yeah, or they just took a cab from wherever in Canada all the way to Texas. Be one very expensive cab fare. Well, that's all I've got on this one. How about yourself?
Yeah, I just, I'm really glad we got to talk about Boomhauer for a while. It feels like we rarely get to talk about that character.
Yeah, I feel like the creators didn't really know what to do with Boomhauer much, and that's why he was always like a side character in most of the episodes. But yeah, I do like how I do think they actually were able to figure out what to do with him and at least find a few episodes where they can use him properly and there's a good story coming from it. Well, that's all I've got. So join us next time as we talk about the little Horrors of Shop, which is actually probably one of my top 10 episodes. So it's going to be a fun one to talk about. Until then, I'm Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.